What an appropriate gospel as we close in on Holy Week. You know, just the whole sense of this gospel. I refer to it as the gospel of the second chance. And when we take a look at it, we may almost immediately look at the adulterous woman and saying, oh, of course, there's a second chance for the adulterous woman. Oh, no, no, no. I'm going to point out at least a couple others in terms of the second chance. The juxtaposition of the woman being brought before Jesus immediately brings to mind the fact that these individuals who are bringing this woman to Jesus have really little care or concern for her. They don't care about her. They're bringing her to Jesus because they want to test the Lord. You know, that's the sense. They want to test the Lord. They really should have been bringing this woman to the Sanhedrin if they were really concerned about the sense of the justice and the law. But no, no. They were more concerned about trying Jesus, about putting him on trial, about testing his ideas in the public. And then there's that strange thing that Jesus does. She's brought before him and they say, Master, teacher, it says in the law of Moses that a person caught in adultery should be stoned. What do you say? Aha. If Jesus says, of course, execute her. Violation of Roman law, because the Romans were the only ones that could take life. We're going to see that later now in Holy Week, when what happens? Pilate says, well, give him over to the Sanhedrin, let the Sanhedrin make a decision, and then Sanhedrin sends him back to the Romans because it's the Romans who have to carry out executions. You can see Jesus' whole life is caught in that dilemma. The second, if he says, no, pardon her, oh, he denies the law of Moses. There he is. Not a true rabbi. He's not a true teacher. So Jesus bends over and he starts to write. Interesting. Where else in the Gospels do we have ever Jesus writing? And we don't even know what he's doing when he's writing. If you read a lot of the commentaries like I have, you know, some will say he's doodling on the ground, almost like someone, many of us, buying time, you know, trying to think, what's my response going to be? So, you know, he's contemplating, so he's doing a little doodling on the ground, taking his finger and making various marks. There's one which I found very interesting, which says that Jesus, confronted with the anger of the mob, could not take the anger, so he puts his face down and he uses that to focus himself upon the love and the mercy rather than the anger of the crowd. An interesting aspect there. But I think I like my patron, St. Jerome, the best. And that's the one we usually embrace. What Jesus did is he went down on the ground and he started writing the commandments. And then he picks his head up and he said, the one without sin, cast the first stone. And then he went down back to the ground. And it is said that they started to disperse. Jerome goes into a little bit more detail. He'll say the elders started to disperse first in reference to the scripture. They're the ones with the longer history of sin, like many of us. It's the younger ones who left later. One of the beauties of being a priest is hearing those first confessions of children coming in. Kind of smile. We say immediately, you know, here they are, you know, disobeyed my mommy and daddy. You know, I fought with my brother and sister. We immediately would say, oh, don't worry about that. But no, no, that's their sin. That's what's keeping them in their minds from that loving relationship with God. So it has to be met with respect. And then you sit in confession and hear somebody who's been away for confession for 5 years and they can't think of any sin that they've committed. What happened? We lost the sense of what is the true aspect of sinfulness, anything that keeps us or prevents us from God. Why is it that Mother Teresa of Calcutta went to confession every week? And here, 80% of Catholics, if you polled them, would tell you the holiest person in the last 100 years is Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Maybe she was the holiest person because she went to confession once a week. She was a recipient of the grace of God, of his mercy constantly, and aware of how her life should reflect that. The only person really who could have thrown a stone was Jesus. And when I say there are two others besides the woman who were given a second chance, obviously the second chance is offered to those who were wanting to condemn this woman. Now, by looking at their own sinfulness, realizing that they shouldn't. Will they reform their lives? The other is us. When we listen to this gospel, do we suddenly now reflect in our own life, now approaching the great passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, who turns himself over? Do we look at ourselves? And when I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. Do we look at ourselves? And do we look at that cross and say, it's my sin that put Christ on that cross? And how does my life now begin to reflect that Jesus? In the second reading to Philippians, and you know that's got to be my favorite, because those of you who know a little bit about me know that the motto for my Episcopal coat of arms is Life is Christ, taken from Philippians. And here, literally, Paul is deciding, he's in prison and contemplating whether his life will be taken, and now he's writing this letter to the community that he loves, the Philippians, and reflecting upon life. And he says, look, all my accomplishments, and he was an accomplished man. He was a citizen of Rome. He was a well-respected individual, and all of that went away. And he says here, it's all rubbish when you take a look at the relationship of Christ. That's where it's at. Hold on to nothing else but that relationship in Christ, for that's everything. In our gospel today, the adulterous woman was given the opportunity to have that relationship, to experience that forgiveness. It was a second chance for her. It was an opportunity. Go and sin no more. For the crowd that brought her forth with anger, and really, their sin was the testing of God. But for those that brought her forth, it was a second chance for them to evaluate their own lives. The great statement, to err is human, to forgive divine, now offered an opportunity to share in that aspect of the divinity. And now ourselves, a second chance for us to take a look at our lives and to see what aspects need to be turned over to the Lord. What sense of our responsibility for the action of the crucifixion that all of us participate in. And when we do, we understand the cost of salvation and our redemption. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.